Welcome to one of the five parts of our special series on technology in AP. In this session, we're going to focus on automation in the accounts payable function. So let's get started. Jamie, let's get started with you. What do your members tell you about the time they spend answering vendor inquiries? Do they feel they have to spend a large amount of wasted time trying to track down needed information?
Yes and yes. So yeah, absolutely, Mary. The reality is, you know, accounts payable teams spend far too much time on ad hoc queries, unvalued items and stuff that they could improve. And this is why automation is so important. And we get feedback all the time about the value add that they really want to go and do, the reporting, the analytical side, but obviously it's the mundane. It's the reporting of the queries. That's the sort of, our members tell us that all the time, Mary.
And that stuff has to be done.
Absolutely. It's a fundamental part of the job, so it can't not be done, but there's got to be better ways than the manual ways that we do at the moment.
Yeah, okay. Do you hear the same thing, Laurent, from your folks?
Yes, absolutely, we do. And in fact, you know, studies have shown that for a manual AP process, sometimes over 40% of the staff time is spent handling those supplier calls, inquiring about their invoice. Hey, you know, what's the status? When am I going to get paid?
Yeah.
And really the underlying issue here is the lack of visibility, the lack of real-time data associated to this manual way of processing invoices. And because the staff, you know, feels they spend time on the phone with an AP vendors, they also spend a lot of time besides, you know, the time on the phone, finding that information, getting back to the vendor. So very cumbersome. Sometimes the invoice is, you know, it's a piece of paper sitting on someone's desk and the accounting department has maybe never even seen it. So it's very cumbersome. And by automating, we see drastic improvements because, you know, we can cut that cost and time by, you know, up to 80% with automation and give that information available, you know, in real time at their fingertips with full visibility and traceability through this AP process. So a lot of things to be done around that.
I know how aggravated I get when I need a piece of paper and I can't find it and I'm looking through it's just infuriating and it's a waste of time. Okay. Both of you guys, too many of my members are under pressure because they miss early payment discounts because they can't get the invoice processed within the discount period. It can be a real problem because this is real money that comes right off the bottom line. And even if they aren't getting discounts, they still spend a lot of time chasing that paper. So maybe, Laurent, you could start elaborating on that problem if you see this.
Yeah, absolutely. So in a manual process, you know, back to a few statistics that I know, the average time to process an invoice from its reception to its payment is typically around 4 weeks. So essentially you're eliminating the potential to capture any discount, but even worse, you're also increasing the risk of paying late and incurring late payment penalties. So not only you're not making a positive impact on the bottom line, if you're paying late payment penalties, that's a negative one. And indeed, that's due to the fact that this is, you know, still paper-based, chasing paper. Sometimes we even see clients that think they've automated in some way because they're scanning the invoices and they're, you know, emailing each other internally. But the reality is that it's simply scanning and using emails is not really automation and it remains very time consuming. So it's not really accelerating the whole process. So to solve for those pain points, you know, our clients, our prospects are looking for, you know, kind of an all-in-one solution to you know, manage that process from start to finish with the fastest speed and essentially capture those invoices and you know, having, you know, smart data extraction or machine learning technologies that can, you know, eliminate the data entry, accelerate the workflow, eliminate the paper chasing, and all of that in a solution that's, you know, user-friendly for the users to buy into.
Jamie, do your members tell you the same thing?
They do, Mary, and predominantly in the UK and Europe. The issue really is that early payment discounts are a big issue, that we don't take enough of them. So we see them. We see them on the invoice.
It's the same over here.
Oh, okay, there you go. So, you know, we see them on the invoice. We absolutely want to take those discounts, but I've got to take, you know, you've got to go back to basics. if you've not got the right process in place, you've not got the right policies, you've then not got the right systems and the right training of people, then how are you going to get those discounts? So it's great that, you know, we've got the guys at Use on here today. The automation absolutely plays a big part in that, but you also have to look at the basic steps as well, making sure people are trained, you've got the right processes in place, because a bad process will never sort of outdo an automation system or vice versa. So you've got to go to basics, but absolutely, there's so many missed opportunities out there on some really large invoices that our customers, our members use, but it's an age-old issue, and it is, let's be honest, Mary, it's best practice. If you can add money back to the bottom line by getting those discounts, who wouldn't do it?
Yeah, and the bad thing, at least from my point of view, about lost early payment discounts, aside from the money, which is bad, is it's so easy for somebody in finance to find and do a simple report on, hey, we lost all these discounts, and hey, accounts payable, you lost the company, you know, X dollars or X pounds, and that's, you know, never a good situation to be in a meeting when somebody brings that up and says, hey, what are you going to do about it? All righty. I'll stop pontificating about that. I'm not sure, guys, if our audience is aware of everything that you guys do. So perhaps you might each take a minute and explain to our folks who are listening what your organizations do. I don't know. Who wants to start?
Do you want me to start, Lauren? I'll explain. So my name is Jamie Radford, as you can see on the screen. I run an organization called the Accounts Payable Association. We partner with Mary and the AP Now team, and our job is to do three things. We do membership for an AP community. We run events and conferences, which we do predominantly in the UK and Europe, but we do some global stuff as well. But the main thing we do is entertain and make sure our community at large are, you know, up to date with information. Hence the reason we partner with Mary at the AP Now. And that's what we do in a nutshell. Over to you, Lauren.
Thank you, Will. It's great to meet you guys, because first time meeting you. So my name is Laurent Charpentier. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Using, in charge of the American market. And Use is an all-inclusive cloud AP and purchase-to-pay automation solution. So essentially, we automate, you know, we can automate the full purchase-to-pay process with our platform, AP being part of that, and we deliver to our clients, you know, unmatched savings, speed, and security when we automate their process by essentially leveraging three big things in our product: the smartest technologies around AI and machine learning for document capture, document understanding, you know, advanced features when it comes to, you know, our workflows and AP capabilities, and an easy to use experience for our users.
Oh, I like that. Easy to use. Right up my alley. Okay. One of the growing issues my members have, and it's not easy to use, is dealing with problematic invoices. This includes invoices that are sent more than once, and this has become a huge problem in the U.S. thanks to the low cost of email, as well as what I call discrepant invoices, invoices that don't pass the three-way match. So do you folks run into the same problems? Do you see the same problems? And do you have any suggestions? And I don't know who wants to go first.
Go on, Lauren. I'll let you answer that one first.
I can start. So yes, we indeed hear that a lot. For example, for duplicate payments, I've seen statistics as well that show that in a manual AP process, some duplicate invoices can lead to, you know, up to 3% of duplicate payments. Ooh. And some of that will never be caught and is a direct cash loss for the organization. So that's a big thing. My first suggestion for the audience, before even getting into the automation side of things, is to first try to leverage the accounting system. The accounting system often has native features to, you know, prevent you from entering the same invoice number for the same vendor twice. And surprisingly, when we're implementing, you know, Use for our clients, and we dig a little bit into that with them on the accounting system side, we often see that such settings are not enabled. So even without automation, there is already some things that can be done, for example, to help catching more duplicates and decreasing that. On the three-way match, we also see more and more companies trying to actually implement a purchase request and purchase order process. So we're not even to a point where the majority of the organizations out there actually try to have a two-way or three-way match, because some of them don't even do purchase orders. They still do that in an Excel, and they don't match the invoice after that. So we also see an increase in that demand there. And all of that in the Use AP Automation platform can help us help our customers take this to another level. Because just to give you a few examples, with the Use AP Automation technologies, we're going to perform much more advanced duplicate checks than the native accounting system can do. So we can bring that to the next level to, you know, check, you know, when a document is uploaded, the file ID, for example, of the invoice being uploaded, but also our users can configure what we call smart rules for duplicate detection using different data points to try to get warnings or errors and essentially catch even more of those. So first suggestion is really look at your ERP or accounting system, and of course, Use AP Automation or an AP Automation platform can help even more.
Okay. Jamie?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you have to add to that, my friend?
You've answered all the questions, but I think, you know, I'll pick you up on a point there, Lauren. The automation's great and systems are great, but I'll go back to my original point. You've got to train teams properly. You've got to have the processes in place. You've got to have the policies in place as well. Because, yes, in the UK and Europe, we see lots of problematic invoices. And actually, over the last 12 months, let's be honest, there's been, you know, frauds that have been tried to be committed, but also businesses have struggled to get paid. They send lots of invoices in because they're trying to get paid. Now, what that means is that you do then run into that risk of having duplicates, because somebody gets frustrated, they're not getting paid on time. They send a second invoice, they send a third invoice, which is, you know, it's not common practice. And there are people out there, Mary, that slightly unnaughty. They shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be sending so many invoices in. So I do think, you know, although automation plays a very big part in that, I think also you have to have the training elements. You have to have the policies and the processes that back that up as well. But then, and I agree with Lauren's point there, use your ERP. Make sure you're utilizing all of the ERP's functionality, as well as then potentially systems like Use for the duplicate to make sure that fraud and overpayments are not sort of creeping into your process also.
One of the stories or things that my members tell me here is that, well, you know, if you don't pay a vendor on time, let's say you were supposed to pay them at 30 days and you haven't paid them by 35 or 40 days, the vendor is within their rights to go ahead and send a second copy of that invoice to try and get paid. But there are a group of consultants actually advocating on the credit side, on the AR side, that you have an invoice, let's say it's due on May 1st, send a second copy on April 25th, 5 days before. Send a second copy on the day it's due. And, you know, with a little luck, they'll trick somebody into paying it twice. You seeing any of that?
Look, in the UK, we do see that, Mary. And I think, you know, let's be honest, the pandemic's really sort of not helped this, because obviously people have had to, within 24 hours, you know, put their businesses and pivot and work from home and different environments. But yeah, personally, I think it's a little naughty. I think people should, you know, let's go back to basics. Pick up the phone, communicate, try and get hold of your counterparts. Mm-hmm. Talk about that communication elements. And again, you know, as great as the Use system will be, it doesn't stop you from picking up the phone and look, doing things like the, you know, statement reconciliations. Check your statement reconciliations, because, you know, the reality is in an automation or a process, you've got the start of the process, how you bring suppliers in and how you get good quality data. But you've got the back end of the process about reconciliation, making sure you're checking as well. So don't just rely on the system and the automation systems. You have to have the manual checks in there.
Right. It's not like, yeah, okay. All righty. So this was another issue that I wasn't aware of. I was recently chatting with a colleague of mine at a credit association, and he shared with me that many credit professionals and AR professionals were fed up with those AP portals. And I was like, why? I think they're great. And for accounts payable, they are great. And he said, yeah, but when the credit people or the supplier have to deliver invoices, or they have to use one of these self-service vendor portals where they have to set themselves up, it might be great for your people, but my people have 60 or 70 different portals to go to, and it's not so great for them. So I was listening to him and I was thinking, oh, I hate to admit this, but he's right. He's got something there. So now what I kind of advocate to people is that when you go out and shop for a system, Don't only think about what you need, what's best for your organization, but also look at how it's going to impact your suppliers. Because, you know, you don't want to make them unhappy. And so one of the things I suggest is not only do you look at what's how it's going to impact your suppliers, but if you look at one that can read invoices from email, that'll go a long way to making the vendors happy. So do you agree? Do you have any other suggestions along this line? You want to start with Lauren?
Yeah, and I agree 100%. I mean, as you said, in theory, those vendor portals are great for the buyer, for the AP department, if they can get the vendors to adopt it. But when you say 60 to 70 portals for some of those AR departments, it's true. We've seen a multiplication of such portals on the market, which makes it complicated for the vendors to use. You know, they have 60 users, 60 passwords. They have to remember which one to use for every client. So yeah, it makes it difficult, and it's probably not very good for the relationship with your vendor. So I agree with you. I think the easiest channel for vendors to submit their invoice and the one that's most commonly used is emails. And that's probably extremely easy for the buyer too. So definitely to me, the vendor portal can be a nice plus, a nice a feature to have, maybe if you have some big vendors that will, adopt it. But I think having that email capture channel is key, and making sure that this email capture channel supports a variety of formats like PDF, Word, Excel, image formats, because vendors may be generating those in different formats with an easy way to split those in the AP system, because you will have some vendors that will send you one PDF file with 20 invoices in there, and you don't want to print that to rescan it. So you need to be able to split it. So those features on the email capture channel are very important, in my opinion.
What do you think, Jamie? You agree?
Yeah, totally agree with both of you, actually. You know, the reality is, let's be honest, the world's moving to an electronic format.
Yeah.
And that's never going to go away. I think Lawrence said it earlier, that the point really is that an emailed invoice is not an electronic invoice. That's the difference, the variance, you know. So people get confused, but you know, having an electronic invoice or a PDF invoice is a lot better than the paper, let's be honest. And I'm a big fan of vendor portals, but I do agree that if you've got too many of them, there's some complexity. But again, I take it back to the start of a process. You know, if you can get good quality data from all of your suppliers, then you'll actually effectively go through the process a lot easier. So having a vendor portal that manages that absolutely is great for the customer, but not always for the supplier. So it's a two-way street. So although I do think that they are probably best practice, I also am in agreement that too many of them will put people off. But it goes back to that age-old thing: good quality data, well-trained individuals, good systems, but also keep your teams up to date with those systems as well. You know, like the system that we in the UK, we use our partners in the UK. And I know that you have to continually train your teams, because let's be honest, people come and go. And as they come and go, you've got to continually train them on your own process and the systems you use as well.
So Jamie, you bring up a good point. That was one of the other things that my colleague was ranting and raving about also. He said, it's not bad enough they have all these portals and they have all these different passwords that they have to remember. And you know, passwords are another issue. He said, but then about 15% of them upgrade every year. So what you used to know doesn't work. And of course, you know, you can make, as a manager, you can make your team go through the training, but you can't make your vendors do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have, and I know I'm throwing this out to you, Lauren, do you have any suggestions on how to deal with your suppliers when there's an upgrade?
For us, since we're re-promoting the email, any upgrade on the use side will have no impact really for our vendors. For when there is a vendor portal being upgraded, if some of you in the audience use that, I think communication is going to be key. Trying to informally train your vendors through at least a minimum of communication to warn them. So. That would be my recommendation. Don't have a lot of experience on that matter because, again, we're really trying to promote the email capture channel on our side more than the vendor portal.
Okay. I think that's the answer. But that's, you know, looking at the audience. Okay. I'd like to take this opportunity to invite those who are listening or watching to subscribe to this channel. And if you're watching on YouTube, please ring the bell on the top to be notified of new postings, which we do 2 or 3 times a week. And by the way, please let us know what you think by either posting a comment below or contacting one of the 3 of us. We'd all love to hear from you. Okay. Now, Jamie, don't start laughing. Can we talk a little bit about payments and the problems associated with them? And as you both probably know, in the U.S., close to 50% of B2B payments are made electronically. That means 50% of them are not made electronically. Can you chime in on this issue?
Yeah. So you're correct. In the US, it's still heavily paper-based. The good news is that there are good solutions out there to also automate and digitize this part of the workflow, the payment process. So for example, at Hughes, where payment is not our specialty, but we've partnered with 3 best-of-breed payment automation providers that we've tightly integrated into our platform to provide this all-inclusive solution, all-inclusive workflow. And our joint goal, really, when we work with our payment partners to try to help our customers, is to help those customers move away from paper check because they're costly, they're time-consuming, they're inefficient, to more efficient payment methods. We see a big trend in the U.S. around trying to push virtual credit cards to the vendor. And the benefit of that is that the vendor gets paid immediately because the credit card, virtual credit card, is funded. It's extremely secure. And it can actually generate revenue for the customer because they can get, cash back and essentially really disrupt their organization model by becoming a profit center to some extent. Of course, this is not always possible with all the vendors, or some smaller customers won't be initially eligible to such programs. But in this case, we try to push, ACH payments or electronic checks to make it extremely easy for our customer, so the buyers and their vendors to get paid. I believe this is potentially really, more specific to the U.S. On the EMEA side, we try to really be able to generate the bank files because it's virtual credit card and ACH is not something European, but we're also trying to streamline that part in Europe when we can with, the bank file or something like that.
Yeah, there is some pushback, not surprisingly, from the vendor community, which, again, I didn't realize right up front, the requirement which some systems have that they take virtual card. So if you can, produce ACH and a check file, that makes you more attractive. I think that I'm going to go to my grave. Americans are still going to be writing paper checks. It's just, I don't know who it is. So Jamie always laughs at me about this. He's like, "You're still talking about paper checks?" Like, yeah, you would not believe how much I talk about paper checks. You want to ring in? Not on that issue, Mr.
No, look, I mean, look, Mary, you know what? Actually, your statistic does surprise me. If I was honest, I'd say probably it would be lower than 50% from what we understand in the US market. That are you still using or using electronic payments of some sort? As you know, in the UK, our banking systems are probably a little bit further forward in terms of our payments. But I would say actually some of our automations probably further behind in terms of, where we are. So it's a balancing act, really.
Right.
But again, the reality is wherever possible, best practice and also to reduce fraud, to increase the process efficiency, some form of electronic payments is the way to go, whether that's, electronic cards or virtual cards. It's got to be the way because ultimately, at all times, you're trying to reduce fraud. And with the last 12 months, let's be honest, there was no better time and chance to try and increase that adoption. So let's see what time gives. I'm still confident, Mary, as the US will catch up the UK in terms of your electronic payments.
From your lips to God's ears, but I'll tell you 2 things on that front. Number one, in the United States, check fraud is still the most common type of attempted fraud, not successful, but attempted fraud. And one of the things that I think we've learned from COVID, or I hope we've learned from COVID, is that we need to have our operations, invoices and payments, less paper dependent and less dependent on being in a particular location. And I mean, I'm sure you've heard horror stories like of people who couldn't get invoices because nobody was in the office. So then they emailed them, but the mail still was there, and then the duplicate, you know, okay. Let's move on from that. And now there's a touchy issue that I want to address. God forbid that most people don't talk about it, but I'm going to. What do you say to processes who throw up roadblocks every step of the way when there's a new automation project because they fear losing their jobs? They don't say that, but after a while, it becomes apparent that that's the issue. So, Jamie, you want to talk about that first, and then I'm really interested to see what Lauren has to say.
Well, look, I mean, it's always going to be an issue, Mary, but it goes back to that communication. You know, if you can communicate that you're looking to do a project, early the better. So get your teams engaged, get them involved in the conversations, try and roadmap and map out what some sort of project will be, what an automation project is. And let's be honest, you know, I've been in the world of accounts payable for 30 years. I know I don't look old enough, Mary, but I have. I've heard, you know, accounts payable is going to be automated and these systems are going to fully take our jobs. It hasn't happened yet. And I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime. What actually happens is automations and systems improve the quality of data and actually free up time for the data processors and the app to become more analytical. So actually they need to embrace technology. They need to absolutely train them, but it comes back to that. Communicate to them very early on, get them adopted and bring them in. And actually, if you do have those awkward people who really don't want to do it, that's a separate conversation. But if you can try and, you know, achieve 80, 90% of the team fully bought in, want to support you, and you communicate regularly with them, you'll have a successful project.
And you have other more value-added work for them to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Lauren, like I say, I'm really interested to hear your insights on this.
Yeah, I mean, I really agree with what was said here. I mean, you know, at Hughes, that's really how we approach it, you know, from trying to get the buy-in as early as we can when talking to a client, not only to the decision maker, but also trying to embed, you know, with that person, the team who will be involved in that project and who will contribute to the change management portion that needs to happen within the organization to adopt, to buy into that new system. And as you said, the goal is really to help our clients redeploy the resources where it matters the most to essentially to perform higher added value tests. So all in all, this is very important because it's going to make the accounting department more strategic. And those resources should not fear losing their job, but as you said, instead embrace it because it can give them new responsibilities. It can, you know, reshape a little bit what their jobs are and make them actually more interesting, more strategic. So, for example, if we can take away several hours a day of data entry, paper chasing, vendor inquiries, well, now then you can have resources that have time to work on vendor relationships, negotiating those early payment discounts, analyzing that data on, well, how much do we pay for ketchup in this restaurant versus in this other with this other vendor, and really have this tragic impact and make a positive impact on the bottom line.
So I'm laughing when I'm listening to you because Jamie and I just did a session. Actually, we taped it yesterday, but it'll be up by the time this goes live. And talking about strategic AP and all the different things that the accounts payable teams are now doing, and I think don't realize. Okay. Now, last issue. I'm going to throw it, the next one, to Lauren first, because it's an issue near and dear to my heart, and I know Jamie's as well, because we chat about it often. Can you talk about the lack of respect some AP departments get in their organizations and any suggestions on how they can improve this issue?
Yeah, so absolutely. I think that lack of respect kind of comes historically from the fact that, well, you know, AP, it's a back office department. It's doing a lot of data entry. It's spending the organization's money. And essentially, you know, it's been doing things like that for 30 years. And it's not really broken. There is no need to fix it. In some cases, that's kind of the the feeling that we get from some of our prospects. And in my opinion, this is changing a lot due to, you know, especially the previous question and discussion about AP becoming more strategic. The cloud, I think, is playing cloud technology, cloud software is playing a big technology in this, because whether it's through your ERP or through an AP automation solution through use, those new technologies are going to help the AP department remain competitive, become more strategic, and then the AP department can reshape a little bit how they're perceived within the organization, because they're going to make a much bigger impact in the organization and be perceived differently. So, you know, if all of a sudden AP can, you know, get some trends around the spending, around pricing, around generating revenue from discounts, I think that perception is drastically going to change. So, in my opinion, you know, solutions, cloud solutions, use AP automation, a modern cloud-based accounting system will be important in improving that issue. And I'll let Jamie chime in. I'm sure there are also some things that can be done, you know, on the process side of things to also reshape a little bit that perception.
Mr. Radford?
Well, look, Mary, how long have we got? We've only got a few minutes left. No, look, the reality is, you know, this is dear to our heart. Accounts payable for far too long have not had the respect they deserve. The reality is people do see the function as a back office function, but not only a back office function, probably the lower ones of the back office function. And I'll remind your audience, Mary, of something that was spoken during our Accounts Payable Appreciation Week. Two things. Firstly, we are the backbone of function, not the back office. That's the first one. That's what I like. And secondly, this is our time to shine. The reality is there's never a better time than the current situation where we've had to bring a back office function to the front. We've had to change our processes. We've had to use automation systems from remote locations. And we've done all that in very, very short time frame. And we literally have kept the lights on of businesses throughout the world. So one of the things I go back to always is always about how we can promote best practice. And I know, Mary, you run a best practice network. You know, all of your network is all about best practice.
Yes.
We're starting that in the UK as well, but it's all about being recognized to be supporting your businesses in best practice, whether that's process, whether that's people, whether that's systems, whether that's business resilience, doesn't matter. It's all about best practice. And that's your plug for you, Mary, because I know that's what you preach. I know that's what you do. And it's all about those subjects.
Yep. And it's, I think you encapsulated it well. It's AP's time to shine. All righty. Thanks, guys. If you like this session, you might also like episode 79 on invoice automation surprises. On YouTube, a link will appear to it to the left shortly. As mentioned, links to Jamie and Loren's organizations are below. Please check them out for some really interesting information. And as always, we always appreciate those thumbs up.